Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday, in our study of 1 Samuel chapter 19, we were talking about the decay of the integrity of the people today. You can no longer take a man at his word. You better get it in writing. Let's continue with that thought today.
And now, here is our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
When Christ said, "Nevertheless, not my will but thine be done," he had the power to call 12 legions of angels and destroy them all, but instead of doing that, he instead did the Father's will. Jonathan interceded for David as Christ intercedes for us. We saw that in verses 3 through 5 as Jonathan spoke to Saul for David. And you know, there is a personal responsibility for us as well. You know, there are many folks that if they know the boss or a higher up is mad at a fellow employee or friend, all of a sudden they treat that employer, the friend, like they're the plague. Not Jonathan. And Jonathan just wasn't like that. Jonathan wouldn't do that. Jonathan stood by his friend. Now, when we stand by a friend, we stand by someone, we don't endorse unrighteousness. That person's doing unrighteousness. Again, I've seen it even in preachers, that they have their own little group, their own little followers within a church, and they will excuse things that are wrong in that follower's life. That if there's another group that seems to oppose, boy, he's all over it like ugly on an ape, and he's going to really hit that hard. But Jonathan is standing on principle, not popularity. I believe one of the worst losses of the 20th and 21st century has been a man's word. A handshake now means nothing. It better be in writing. And the problem is, that's among Christians. And we see it in so many places. For example, divorce. We give our word till death do us part. But the truth of the matter, when you said better, worse, and things got worse, and he was a bum, she was no good, and all the other things in our word, all of a sudden says, we didn't know that this would be the circumstances, and therefore we can go back on our word. Then your word was simply a bald-faced lie before man and to God. I recently read a little article by a man by the name of Ken Connor. I do not know who Ken Connor is, only that he is a columnist. I've never met him, had never read anything by him until I read this article, and that's the only thing I've ever read by him. And I want to quote this article to you in part because I think he hits the nail on the head. He says, every lowlife can retreat behind the wall of personal morality. And then, as has become customary, wrap himself in the warm blanket of therapy, which transforms the scoundrel into the victim or patient. Our culture has largely abandoned the concepts of sin and shame. To publicly declare that one should be ashamed of any form of sexual activity has become the greatest sin of all. Such behaviors are all now personal choices, not to be judged by others or conditions, to be treated with therapy. He quotes now a rabbi, Stephen Pruzanski. He says he gets to the heart of the matter in a recent piece. Shame was murdered when morality was reduced to a lifestyle preference that is completely subjective. There was a time when a married two-parent male and female family with children was not only the norm of American life, but socially desirable. Today, people boast about families existing in all forms with different configurations and lifestyles on which any moral judgment redounds to the detriment of the putative judge. When individual choice becomes the greatest good, ethics fall by the wayside. Once choice becomes the highest value, there is no right and wrong. Moral standards, honor, and shame become obsolete. Sin and moral failure are reduced to mere personal peccadilloes. We all sin, so who wants to cast the first stone? Is the refrain. It's simply easier to individualize, personalize, and marginalize all sin. However, our collective moral guilt does not excuse our individual failing. It just points to the need for our individual and collective repentance and reformation. If we refuse to call sin by its name, we excuse it and ignore our need for salvation and regeneration. When as a culture we excuse sin and eliminate shame, we inevitably descend to the lowest common denominator. As a result, we have to live with the consequences of refashioned social norms. Disposable human beings, abortion, infanticide, euthanasia, and broken families, on-demand divorce, cohabitation, gay marriage. And that's all of his article that I wanted to quote. My friend, all of that, again, shows that our word and our integrity means nothing anymore, even in marriage. My friend, it is just as wrong for a man and woman that moves in and lives together without marriage as it is homosexual marriage. It is just as much a sin for a man that cheats on his wife, or vice versa, a wife that cheats on her husband, as is homosexual marriage. Those become lies in their vows before God and man. Isn't it interesting that Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, tells us that all what? All liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire. So, my friend, as we look at this chapter and we are considering this of Jonathan being a type of Christ, by that I mean Christ-like. Let's examine ourselves and see, what does my word mean? We think of politicians lying all the time. But let me ask you something else. What about the altar at church? How many people have walked an aisle, made a promise to God, only to abandon it in the trials of life, or to forget it, even without a trial? When you got saved, you became a priest of God. Every saved person is a priest of God. Now, a priest has a responsibility. That is, just like Jonathan is interceding for David, it is to intercede. We intercede to God for others. Now, most of you, I hope that your church, at the end of the preaching, gives an invitation for people to get saved, for Christians to get right, come and pray at the altar, what have you. My Christian friend, it may be time now to decide, I'm going to be a priest of God. I've got the position when I got saved, now I need to carry out my office. Sometimes you go down there to confess sin. Other times you go to, like the priests in the Old Testament, to offer thanks. A thank offering. A praise offering. And sometimes we need to go to that altar just to thank and praise God. Many times the priests went there to offer for the people. Maybe you need to go to that altar. You have an unsaved loved one. And bring their name up at the altar. I believe Hannah, in the second chapter and first chapter of this book, who was Samuel's mother, I believe that she had prayed before for a child, but there was just something special about her being at the house of the Lord and praying when the priest Eli heard her. And God granted her petition and gave her a baby. My friend, perhaps that's where we have failed as priests of God. Maybe we need to walk that aisle often. You know, if you have 52 Sundays in a year and 104 invitations, and you go forward every invitation, people might say something about that. They might think you're a little crazy. They might think you're losing it. Does it really matter what people think? You see, what really matters is what God thinks. You have to decide which side of the great divider you're going to be on. If you're going to be on God's side, then my friend, let me just make it very clear. Be a priest of God that He's made you. Go to that altar. Pray for that lost soul. Pray for that backslider. Pray for that one that's given their heart and life to God. Maybe God has impressed upon you a ministry or something that you need to do, and you need just to go up there to that altar and place it there and place yourself there. Be used of God. But let's certainly make sure that we don't make the altar a place where we lie, as politicians have lied in their stump speeches, and men and women have lied when they gave their vows.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No break. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no break. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.